Hey, welcome to another episode of Singular 4C. I'm Miguel, Michael 27A, the community manager for Singular DTB. Joining us today is VP of Entertainment, Mr. Jason Tyrell. How you doing, Jason?
I'm great, Miguel. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, what is going on with the entertainment department in Singular DTB? You guys are the fastest growing and most engaged department in the company. And there's been quite a lot of festivals and things happening in the department, like the Berlin Film Festival.
Yeah.
We were doing cons. So anything that you can share with the community as far as what's been going on?
Sure. It's definitely been a busy year for us so far. Not a breath been taken here. And that does come from, you know, our grounding as both a technology and an entertainment company. The pieces that we're putting in place around project development, production, marketing, and distribution requires us to hit on all cylinders at every major festival and market of the year. And the early part of the year is very busy in the sort of traditional entertainment industry. So we started as a team in January out at the Sundance Film Festival, looking for projects to get involved with. So that means talking to producers, talking to distributors, talking to agents, screening movies, wandering into great conversations wherever we possibly could. And it's definitely about educating people as far as what we're doing and how it's different and how it can improve their business. And then also, you know, seeing what we can see and finding movies and projects that we feel like are a great fit for our audience. So we started at Sundance in January. We were at the Berlin Film Festival and Market in February. We were at the South by Southwest Film Festival out in Forest in March. We were at Tribeca Film Festival in New York City, our home base there, in April. We also had folks at the Hot Docs, which is a major documentary festival that takes place in Toronto. That was also in April. And then we've got folks just coming back from the Cannes Film Festival here in May. So it's been sort of one into the other, but it's been really fruitful and exciting so far. Some great relationships being formalized, some great film partnerships that we're super excited about here on the entertainment team that are coming down the pipe. So, you know, stuff that's just recently been announced and a couple of things that we'll be announcing over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. You mentioned all those festivals and trips and such, and I just got jet lag and tired all at the same time.
I know.
Kind of funny.
I know. Well, yeah. It's sort of, they end up rolling into each other. You know, the interesting thing about the film industry is it feels like a big, massive machine, but it's also really very small in that you see the same people everywhere. And so then it becomes about solidifying a really strong working relationship and finding out what's new, you know, what kind of projects they have. Any potential partner that we're involved with, a producer or a distributor, has different movies and different projects at each one of those festivals and markets. So part of it is making sure that we are just in the conversation. It's a slow burn as a new company to gain awareness.
Right, becoming relevant.
Yeah, I guess relevancy for sure. And just awareness, you know, everybody knows the traditional players when it comes to a platform for content distribution or even content acquisition and being a straight distribution partner. They're sort of the usual players that people go to, but people want different options, right? And so it's about being in the conversation, making people aware of what we're doing, what we're building, how it's going, so that we can circle back around and talk about these individual film projects or TV projects and figure out the right fit.
How does that conversation have gone? Like when you go and meet someone, some producer that you used to work with before, or a brand new contact that you reach out and you start having that conversation and you say, hey, I represent Singular DTV. We're an entertainment studio based on blockchain technology. How does that go from there on? Like, what is the first questions they ask you? How does he develop?
There are many questions that they ask me. You know, the thing that I tell everybody who comes on here at Singular DTV is, you know, the challenge is also the greatest piece of what we do. The challenge is, how do you explain a new technology to people that are sort of grounded in something very traditional that actually hasn't changed all that much over the years? But on the flip side of that coin, it's always the most exciting conversation that person has had all week. And I've literally had people respond to me that way. There have been a lot of folks that have come and gone talking about a new model for the entertainment industry. And more times than not, it's just sort of bells and whistles. It's surface level changes of something that's effectively the same. What's exciting here and exciting about all of our conversations is what the potential of blockchain brings to entertainment is a truly new model for content creation, for audience development, for connecting artists more directly with audiences, for the proper accounting and revenue and royalty flow, immediately trust-free, all the things that we know are possible via blockchain truly do create something new. And so what I've found is everyone is game for that conversation. The entertainment industry, you'll see article after article talking about how it's ripe for disruption. But I think what we're finding, especially right now, where we're in the midst of the Me Too movement, which is rocking the entertainment industry basically to its bedrock, what we're finding is people want it to evolve, right? It's not about disrupting the industry. Disruption is more about shaking something up. What I think we want to do is bring this incredibly talented group of professionals, artists, distributors, curators, producers. Let's evolve together into a better way of doing business, a cleaner way of doing business, a more trusting way of doing business, a more holistic look at how we all do this together on a global scale and serve artists and audiences throughout the process. So everyone's been open to that conversation. You know, I think what ends up happening is if I have a meeting that's slated to take a half an hour, it inevitably takes over an hour. Because what we do is we spend the first half hour to 40 minutes getting the other person to the point where they can conceptually grasp blockchain, decentralization, cryptocurrency, how it all comes into play together. And then once we hit that point, you can sort of see the light bulb go off for people. And once that light bulb lights, the excitement in people's eyes, that then they're like, oh my God, okay, now I get it. Now I've got a million questions for you, because now they can see how it will actually evolve their business. So the conversations are always long. They're always convoluted, but eventually we get to the point where people just absolutely want to hear more and they want to figure out how it can work for them.
They become so passionate about the project that even if they were to say, like, I got about 70%, but I'm so excited, I'm willing to just meet you at the next event and keep on the conversation going. Am I right?
Yeah, Miguel, it always leads to more. And I think, the entertainment industry has been very averse to change over the years. And that's why disruption is a challenging word for the industry, because there are so many people whose business model has been disrupted by the move to digital. That has happened over the past 15 to 20 years, and then the digital platforms that have emerged, where you have, social platforms becoming media empires and subscription platforms becoming, production and acquisition entities on a massive scale that nobody's seen before, on the scale of a studio or even larger than a major studio. What's happened is you have this whole layer of people in the industry whose business has been disrupted and has not recovered. And so the concept that we can provide a solution for people that's fair and equitable and rewards quality is something that's always very exciting for folks. So when they hear that we're not looking to destroy the industry. You know, what we're looking to do is help evolve the industry into something better for everybody. That keeps the excitement going. And then it just becomes about, all right, how many other people at each company do we have to convince in order to move to an actual deal on something?
So basically, what you've been saying is everyone is hungry for a change. Everyone sees that there is a broken piece in the whole puzzle, and they just want to fix it. They just want to everyone to be on board. But it's never been an actual broken piece. It's actually been a missing piece of the puzzle. And because, like you mentioned, there's the Me Too movement. There are movements happening in Hollywood for, like, there's actors such as Benedict Cumberbatch, where he says, "I will not work in any movie unless my female co-star is paid the same as I am."
Yeah, it was a great stance. There's also talk about employing diversity writers on set. So essentially the idea that, and something that major production companies are adopting, that they won't go forward with a production unless 50% of the crew is female. So it's a way to attempt to level the playing field so that people have a more fair shake towards inclusion.
Right. So obviously everyone thinks, okay, that, you know, Singularity TV sounds great and all for the whoever is big and have had success in their career. They're already well-established directors, producers. They have big names. So they can already attract audiences to our peer-to-peer distribution platform.
Right.
But what is your take if for example, someone such as Javier from Luz Película that we had in Tokit, that campaign? I mean, he filmed the movie in Guatemala, and he wants to showcase it in either vision. How do you see people like him in any part of the world come and tokenize themselves and go to either vision? How do you see that actually going forward and impacting the entertainment industry or decentralization/disruption move globally?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the key for emerging artists is, first off, how do you get access, right? Access to distribution on a large scale. And then two, how do you break through the noise, right? How are you quote unquote discovered amongst everything that's going out, going around? What I love about our system here at Singular DTV is that access is open, right? So any artist can come and use Tokit. Any artist will be able to post their work on our distribution platform and have their own channel. We're putting those tools in place, right? So that they don't have to use an aggregator, which is something they would have to do to have placement on other digital platforms around the world. They don't necessarily have to get the thumbs up from a distributor that would, you know, be the one kind of spearheading the global launch on a distribution platform. They can do all that themselves, and we're putting in the tools here to support them. We have an artist services team that they can get involved with once their project is successful on Tokit, or if they come directly to us on the distribution side. We'll have best practices for them. We'll have suggestions. We'll have marketing tools and resources. So there'll be a lot here for a new artist to take advantage of to help them be successful. So they'll have access, right? And they'll have the ability to come directly to us and discover their audience. You know, the goal is not for us to be another middleman layer, but to really ensure that everything we do is bringing artists and their audiences close together. So the access part we're solving. Now it comes down to, how do you break through the noise? One of the ways that artists will be able to use our system in a more effective way than they would other platforms is through the collection of real-time viewer data. Any other platform that an artist goes to, the data that they receive about how their content is viewed, where it's viewed, is very limited. And in some places, it's a complete black hole. As in they receive no data as to how often, how much, how little, how much of their content, you know, from a running time standpoint even, has been consumed. So the fact that they get direct access to the data, wow, and that's part of our service, it's not something we hold on to, is going to be a big game changer for people. We've seen some of that effort on happening on other platforms where artists, especially musicians, are utilizing certain streaming services strictly as data collection, even though they know that they're not going to make any money off of any of that content being streamed. We're trying to put those things together, right? So they control the revenue stream here with us, and then they also have complete access to their viewership and their data. So that's one way that hopefully savvy artists will be able to kind of break through the noise. You know, the other thing that we're looking at heavily here is on the content curation side of the game. So you'll find most platforms, digital platforms, are curated based on a very specific corporate or shareholder or advertising partner agenda that has very little to do with what's actually popular on the platform or what people want to see or listen to. We're looking to flip that script. So our platform will have very human content curation feeling. People understand that there is a real team here of people that are watching things and listening to things and reading things. And we are going to elevate content, even if it's by an unknown artist, if we believe in it and if we're excited about it. And we're creating systems to put in place so that audiences can do the same thing. We want content of all types to be able to take off on the platform. We don't just want it to be discovery of the biggest names and the biggest titles out there. And so I think people will end up using our platform as a discovery tool, and will be able to find ways to then work with those artists and elevate what they do next time so that we can keep working together in a really sustainable manner. And I think it's important that people know that Tokid is not just there for an individual project, but the goal is to create a sustainable economy for your work. So even if you come to Tokid with one film or one album, you should be thinking about what comes next. Because as we grow an audience together on our distribution platform, we're going to want to do something again on Tokid. We're going to want to create a pipeline of content creation for you artists out there so that you can come back to the distribution side, build a platform, and start scaling your audience organically as you go. And I think that control and that sort of long, sustained growth trajectory is going to make a big difference for new artists that, you know, don't necessarily need a ton of money off right off the bat to make what they make, but just need that consistency and that knowledge that they can build an audience and keep building that same audience over time.
We're technically creating this, I don't want to say one-stop shop, but we're technically creating this place where people can let their guard down and know that we're here for them because we want them to succeed in each one of their projects. And we want them to connect with us in every level, human, entertainment, emotional, and technology-wise level. We want to support them, engage with them, provide them the tools, and curate their work so it can actually be successful in our platform. And by giving them the best practices that you actually mentioned at that point in time, whoever comes in to us can understand how will the blockchain technology empower them, how we can actually go global as fast as possible, because we're going to be regionless, correct?
Yeah. As much as is humanly possible. But the thing is also, we're not going to force any artist into any type of structure around the distribution of their work. So that's another, you know, major difference with our platform that people will see once we launch later this year. As an artist coming into our world, you set the business rules, you set the term, you set the availability, you set the territories, you set the pricing. That's a massive, massive differentiation from anything else out there. And what it means is that anything you do here with us at Singular DTV, you can really target. You can make changes over the length of a launch campaign quickly, so that you can test out different pricing structures. You can see very clearly how well you're doing in different territories, and this helps you be more savvy about how you release your work. You know, the most important thing, Miguel, is that people understand that we're building an entertainment economy from scratch, a new entertainment economy, and why we look at it that way is very specifically for artists to come here and bring a project from start to finish effectively, and to be able to do that in a sustainable way over and over again over time. Every time I speak to artists, I say, let's not just talk about one project. Let's talk about your next 10 years of projects. And artists that are successful are going to start thinking that way, thinking like a entrepreneur as much as they think like an artist, because the truly successful content creators go about their business like that, like a business. And what we can do is put the tools in place with the apps that we're creating grounded in blockchain to support that new enterprise.
Right. Thinking about it on phases, like, okay, phase one, I'm going to be doing like, just like any movie, you do the pre-production, you do the production, you do the post-production, but you have to do that throughout your career. And thinking about it in 10 years, while you think, oh my God, that's a long time in the film industry, it's not such a long time, because a project can actually take anywhere from 6 to 2 years filming a movie. Ask Steven Spielberg, for example. I don't know how long it took him to film Jurassic Park, or ask the people who were involved in Lord of the Rings to make that first trilogy. It took them quite a while to actually film all those movies. So,
and it's not even the production side. Oh, sorry to interrupt, but you think about the whole life cycle of a project, and in the music industry, it's a lot quicker. But in film, you know, traditionally as an independent filmmaker, you could well spend a year to 2 years just raising the funding for your movie. And then you could spend the next year in pre-production, production, and post-production. And then you would spend 1 to 2 years after that distributing the film. And that means, you know, finding agents and lawyers and representation and all the sort of intermediary layers that you traditionally need. Going to film festivals, going to markets, being like the lead promoting voice for your film out theatrically and during the home video release and all this stuff. All of a sudden, you can look up and maybe you just spent the last 4 years or 5 years of your life on one project. And the worst part is the way that distribution currently works. When you go back to the well for funding, when you go back again for audience building, you're essentially starting over. Or you have an audience that is truly owned by the platform versus by you and your production company. So all of a sudden, you're starting that process again. And it, aside from like really, really the top layer of creators, maybe the top 5 or 10%, you're starting from scratch. So there's no guarantee, even with a successful project, that it's not going to take you another year to 2 years to fund and another 2 years to finish the film and the whole thing over again. It's not a business model, right? And so what we're doing is using technology to actually create a business model for artists. And that comes from the fact that we as an entertainment team have staff here from literally every piece of the business, right? So we're bringing talent on board here at Singular DTV that is experienced with creative development, financing, casting, production, post-production, marketing, distribution, festival strategy, home entertainment marketing, you know, even educational exhibition and release strategy. We've got folks on our team that were involved in, you know, the initial design of the DVD way back in the day and the technical decisions that went into that, right? So, you know, we've spent a lot of time not just externally talking to potential partners, but internally finding the right people to put in place here that can give the artists that we work with the best chance of success. So we're trying to look at you know, what initially made the studios successful, and we're going to evolve that, right, as a blockchain studio, and go, okay, how can we replicate what worked without taking on these expensive, unwieldy middleman and intermediary layers, and take that value that's saved and exchange it with the artists and the audience members so that everyone is more successful in the long term.
Great. So we talk about technically all of the theory and all of the things that actually happen in the entertainment industry and such. Are we okay to talk about our peer-to-peer distribution platform a little bit?
Sure. Well, and we've talked about it a bit in other mediums. I think there was a Medium article that Sharish and I wrote early this year that started to outline it. We're very excited about the platform. On the back end, the wireframing, the design, the team is super excited about what we're creating. And I think what folks are going to find is a platform that feels very intuitive and very comfortable, but also truly like an evolution in how we interact with and consume content, and also how we relate to and engage with artists. I can talk more about the platform, but I think it's important to note that, you know, what we're creating is a network of channels for artists, producers, distributors, and rights holders, right? And that channel essentially becomes any artist's home, right? It's their broadcast network to do what they do, create what they create, and share it with a growing global audience. So we're, you know, our goal is also to, you know, educate audiences into the experience of being an artist and being an independent artist, what that's like and why people should care, right? Because in general, we really only focus on, you know, each individual title, every album, you know, whatever we like and whatever we're into. You know, we really want people to focus on the artists that they love over the long term. And, you know, I think people are really dedicated to the artists they love. It's maybe just not heard about as often unless it's a, you know, massive breakthrough artist like a Taylor Swift or something like that. So we want to create that opportunity where, you know, even an emerging artist can start finding their dedicated audience that's going to help them break through and, you know, connecting with them over and over again from one project to another on this channel. So everything is going to come from the channel. And everything is going to be grounded in the artist's token, which they create, you know, on Tokid and bring through to the distribution platform. So our focus is, you know, unique content discovery, a wide range of global content that's available globally as much as humanly possible from day one, so that we solve that pain point for artists and audiences. And then everything that blockchain brings to the table. So the real-time accounting and rights and revenue disbursement and tracking, and the ability for audiences to engage more meaningfully with the film and TV and music and books that they love via these tokens that are created.
And if it is possible to answer this, we have said that people can consume artist content using whether it's Ethereum, ETH, or credit cards. Obviously, they're going to be able to use the artist tokens depending on the model that the artist chooses to do their content, whether it's subscription model, purchase, or any other model that they choose to go with. Is there any other way that they can actually consume this content?
It's going to be fiat via credit cards, so that global audiences that, you know, aren't aware of blockchain or cryptocurrency can also engage with our artists and their work. Ether for sure, singles, and there may be discount opportunities for people that consume with singles, and then the artists' tokens. And there'll be a lot of really cool sort of reward structures built in based on the utilization of crypto and the various tokens that we have in place. As far as models for payment, the only one that we won't have in place right from the outset here in the fall with our beta launch is the subscription model. And it's really because we've thought long and hard about how subscription works and it needs work. You know, when you look globally, that the subscription model is fantastic for audiences.
Right.
It's a great consumer experience, but it's also really, really bad for artists. It's just a terrible artist experience. And so if you're an independent creator, part of the issue with what's happening right now in distribution is the subscription model is not viable for the vast majority of people trying to make a living creating. So it's not sustainable in that it's strictly one at a time, right? You're paid a flat fee to license your work to a subscription platform. There's no further relationship there with their audience or with that platform. You have to go back to them as if fresh with your next project. You get very little data from any subscription service. They really hold that data close to the vest and use it for the platform. So the audience member doesn't, or the artist does not have any access. So there's a lot of challenges to around how revenue gets to the artist on these various subscription models. So, you know, if you're paying a monthly fee to the platform as the audience member, you know, what percentage of that goes to you as the artist? And it's something that's been talked about a lot in the media. Spotify has come sort of under fire for that. You know, YouTube has certainly been part of those conversations. So it's something that we know needs to be addressed. And we're working on a couple of different models along with our business development team and our blockchain development team to try and solve for some of these problems. We know audiences want a subscription model. We also know that the subscription model is sort of devaluing content in the minds of audiences because it feels effectively free. Right? Like if you go on your subscription service, yes, you're paying a monthly fee, but it's pretty invisible to you. It's automated. It's usually through your credit card. So your experience is you go on there and everything there is up for grabs. It's all free. So it's definitely devaluing content.
Correct.
In the minds of audiences. And none of that helps artists get paid.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, Jason, because I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. I had a conversation with a friend of mine that released his third record, and he has tried to stay away from streaming platforms because he says everyone's there, I'm there, and I'm getting nothing, and all these guys get one click and they make more than I would make if I had 100,000 clicks, and they just got one click on their one song. And the person obviously just pays $9.99 and they get access to me and to the big star. How come I know I'm the little one, but how come I cannot get my fair share and the big huge star can get their fair share with everything that they've done? I mean, we're two different sides of the game. They're already in the you know, right next to making the goal. I'm actually beginning. So don't pay. I have to work harder to make a living out of my art, out of my music. They're already well known. If they sell a record, they should get paid, you know, whatever they ask for, because they've already have a history. But still, I also want to get paid. If we just get paid $9.99 per month, and we and the balance, the scales are not fit, it's all according to what this subscription model says, then it's not fair. It doesn't work. It's broken. And that's why he actually said that he doesn't want to deal with any streaming services. Unfortunately, he had to go with one because he signed up with a new label and they forced him to, but well,
yeah,
that's the old legacy world that we're talking about.
And I think, you know, the thing to remember is these major streaming services are actually, they're big data companies, right? And then they just happen to have content, which is a very different approach to things, right? But, you know, it doesn't behoove these platforms to share that knowledge base with you. If you say, well, how are you evaluating my content and what it's worth within your subscription service, you're not going to get a straight answer. You know,
we have a standard contract. We have a standard contract that we provide to every single one of our artists. That's actually what they'll say. We have a standard contract, and the standard is: we win, you lose; we make money, you don't. Boom. That's it.
Well, they probably won't say that part, but they'll be thinking it.
Well, if you get yourself a good lawyer, he will actually say, yeah, that's actually what they're saying in this paragraph with this section, referencing to this other addendum and here and there, and then you may actually make the puzzle and you get the whole thing.
Right. I think the challenge is, how are artists rewarded for their role in building a platform, right? And I think, with traditional platforms, there is no reward, right? So you're a piece of the puzzle, but clearly the most popular content is where the transactions are going. However, you being on that platform is part of what makes it viable, right? Because the platform needs that steady stream of content that can turn over and keep interest going. So that there's always a ton of new things every time somebody comes back. So, what's exciting about the potential of, not just our distribution platform, but really any application built on the Ethereum blockchain, is the fact that there are ways to reward people for participating in the overall economy, both artists and audiences. And that's something I can't dig into super deeply now, but it's going to be really exciting to see as use cases build out on our platform, is that people will gain value. People will be rewarded simply by participating in this global decentralized entertainment economy that we're creating. And, yes, a breakout hit will still happen. And yes, people will still follow stars just like they do anywhere else. But if you bring value to this economy, you will be rewarded for it. And how and why and what the mechanism is will be completely transparent and trustless. So even, look, if we launch on day one with 5 audience members, I'm still going to call it a success, because we're going to be able to prove out that model and the ability to reward artists in a clear, transparent, and immediate way. I obviously hope we're going to have more than 5 audience members, but
yes, please.
Knowing that the mechanism is going to work and seeing it work, it's going to start to shift the needle. And that's what we need, because at the end of the day, what's going to make our distribution platform successful is the artists. We can market right to the audiences. We can make, partnerships with distributors and sort of the traditional players, and we'll be doing all that stuff. But what's going to make this work are the artists. Their trust, their excitement about this.
Correct.
Their willingness to try a new model. And hopefully, there's enough frustration with what's out there to inspire people to come out and try something new.
Jason, you mentioned something that picked out an interest, and it's last week I read an article that said that iTunes and some other companies, I'm not sponsoring any of these companies, by the way, were looking at Amazon Prime's curation model, or how they actually choose and portray their films and such. And obviously we have gotten so used to trusting whenever you go into the subscription service for video on demand that we prefer, that based on our viewing habits, on our binging habits, on our rating habits, they already start suggesting us and emailing us and letting us know what's available, what's new, what should we be watching. As soon as we log in, there is already a trailer of what's new and what they think we should be watching. And obviously, that's called algorithms, which we are all familiar because of Facebook, and artificial intelligence, basically learning our habits, basically. Since we are building a decentralized application on the Ethereum blockchain, is that something that could potentially be integrated in our distribution platform at any point in time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think given that in any given year, approximately 8,000 feature films are released, there's no way that we could have curation be solely human. Forget it when it comes to, social videos and viral videos. I mean, I forget the exact stat, but, it's something mind blowing. It's something along the lines of every single minute, the same amount of videos are posted as, you know, in the entirety of human history prior to 2015 or something like that. Like, it's, I mean, it's like hundreds of thousands of videos a minute are published globally. Maybe it's millions even. The number is bonkers. So, you know, we're going to need to lean on some tools. AI, machine learning, algorithms. We're looking at partners. The difference is we're looking for partners who are willing to play in this emerging technology of blockchain with us. And so, you know, part of that means how do we put a algorithm in place when we're talking about peer-to-peer distribution? You know, algorithms work on tracking behavior, and our intention is not to track unless that behavior is being willingly shared with us by the audience. So it's a little bit of a challenge there in finding the right fit. The other thing is, when it does come to recommendation engines on our platform, there are plenty of people that want recommendations. You know, we refer to it as there's lean forward people and there's lean back people when it comes to content consumption. So if you're a lean forward person, you read reviews, you talk to your friends that whose taste you trust, you follow tastemakers, you follow certain brands, you want to dig down rabbit holes and find sort of the deep album cuts and things like that, you're leaning into your experience. And then you've got lean back folks who straight up, like, end of the day, I don't want to think. I want to flop onto the couch. I want to put the remote in my hand and tell me what's there. Tell me what to watch. Tell me what's good.
I feel like someone has been looking at me secretly.
And some nights I'm one of those people and some nights I'm the other person, depending on how many conference calls we've had that day.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So, we want to have opportunity there for both people. If we don't curate, if we don't recommend, being a global, decentralized peer-to-peer platform is going to get overwhelming in a hurry. However, we want to recommend truly based on what the audiences and artists are telling us. I always say in every conversation, what we're creating is a platform that we want to feel like it's effectively owned by the artists and their audiences. And so what that means is, if we have a section on the platform that's what's popular, it for sure better be what the audiences on there are watching, not what we as a platform want you to think is popular. Right. And there's a very big distinction there, right? Like, what's hot on our platform is not inherently automatically going to be the stuff that we've produced or the stuff that we've acquired. I want the audience to tell us what's hot. I think we need to trust audiences' taste more. I think we need to listen to the audience more. And I think we'll have more interesting, compelling film, music, and TV content because of that. So this is a long way of answering your question and saying, yes, there will be some sort of, you know, algorithm and some sort of recommendation engine. But like everything else, we're trying to create something new to solve these challenges.
Right. There's no autopilot on doing this. There is no shortcut to actually implement this, because yes, you could do it if you would do it like everyone else is doing it. But we're trying to do it not like everyone else. We're trying to do it the singular way.
No one's ever built a decentralized entertainment industry from scratch, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, it's all new. We're not cutting any corners. And I think the result when we get there will be pretty exciting.
Yeah. So it sounds like not only is the community important for Singular DTV to be engaged and up to date with everything that we're doing and support everything that we're doing, but they're actually going to be important for artists, for filmmakers, for content creators, and they're also going to be important for other new members of the community that come in. I mean, the community basically is our platform. We're building a platform for our community that will help build the platform itself for the success of making this decentralized entertainment industry work out.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not for us. It's for independent artists and global audiences. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be able to play on this platform too, right? And Singular DTV will have original content, stuff that we acquire at film festivals and markets, and you know, new bands that we're involved with, new filmmakers and artists that we're involved with. But, you know, we want to be just one piece of this puzzle. You know, we want to be one square of the tapestry of this decentralized industry that we're creating. So, you know, we're as excited to use these tools as artists and creators ourselves as everyone else is to see what the end result will be.
Will there be a... We already announced in Ethereum there's going to be the alpha, which is going to be internal. There's going to be the beta. And then later on, we're going to have version one. Obviously, we're going to build this thing as efficient as possible. And that's why this roadmap, that's why we're taking time on actually developing this. So my question would be, what do you foresee being added in the future when version one comes in? And this is technically very speculative, but is there something that you can say, I want this to be in this version?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when we look at version one, we talk about mobile app integration. And that's the crux of it. And that's why we're looking at that as our true version one. More and more of the global audience is consuming content on their mobile devices, smartphones, tablets, etc. When you think about home entertainment, more and more people are cord cutters, right? They're watching via Apple TV or Roku or PlayStation boxes like that. So for us, a true version one of the platform requires global or requires mobile integration, because that's really going to get us that widest global audience where we're not asking consumers to massively change their behavior. We can really meet them in the middle and provide a mainstream, adaptable, global scaled app, that's available everywhere they look, right? So that's the big thing that we're focused on for next year and for the version one. In the beta, we're going to prove out the model. We're going to start building audience. We're going to launch some exciting content and start building this ecosystem, or at least the closing of the loop of the ecosystem. Come next year, it's going to be about scalability and bring on more and more exciting projects.
That's great. I'm really looking forward to actually sitting down on my little entertainment center that I built out and I gifted myself as a birthday gift, and enjoying our original content, enjoying everything that I know you and the team have been working really hard to actually get on board. So I'm really excited about that. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me and, give this little time to the community and update them, engage with them and educate them on what you have been doing, how hard you guys have been working and where we're headed. I'm really excited. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Mikhail. My pleasure. Always happy to answer questions. And we're going to keep building this thing for you guys out there. We're super excited for what's coming.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today in this episode for SingularDTB's Singular 4C podcast. Again, my name is Miguel Martinez, SingularDTB's Community Manager. See you all in the blockchain.